Before the homily, I want us to congratulate Carlotta and Harley Flores. Today is their 86th wedding anniversary. Their life with each other is a great gift to us. They continue to be the sign of the constant presence of God's love for us as they remain with each other. As Harley said walking in, it's a long time, Father. But hopefully it's been a beautifully long time. When I was in the seminary, one of my more rational scripture professors, looking at that gospel, tried to rationalize what it was saying. And he said, you know, it really wasn't much of a miracle. You know, once they took those five loaves and those two fish and began breaking them up, people just started taking the food that they brought with them out of their pockets, and that's what allowed everybody to get enough to eat. And as he said that then, and even today, I knew he was full of crap. It's hard to imagine how that worked. And in my imaginings, I don't know what would happen as you begin breaking bread. How did it continue to produce enough to feed the 5,000? But every gospel speaks to this feeding of the 5,000. Something happened. Jesus, being the divine, did what Moses sort of did. But now Jesus does it completely. Moses told the people that God would feed them manna every morning for 40 years and quail in the evenings. But it was always God who was doing it. This isn't Jesus saying God will do it. This is Jesus who says, break them into groups of 50, and I will bless this bread. And I want you to begin feeding them with what I've blessed. He's proclaiming himself for the first time. He's God walking on earth. But it's unimaginable. How did that work? I think in the same way, you know, the Eucharist, we've tried to rationalize what happens. St. Thomas Aquinas gave us the word transubstantiation. I had to memorize that word in second grade. I had no idea what it meant, but I could say the word transubstantiation. When I got into college, I finally was taught what that meant, and it still didn't make any sense to me, that the substance changes during the Mass. Well, what does that mean? I think Paul does a much better job with it in his address to the Corinthians. I hand on to you what's been given to me, that the Lord did this at that Last Supper. He told us that this was his body and this was his blood. And that's enough. I don't think we have to have big terms, and I don't, you know, ultimately even Thomas Aquinas, even he goes through this whole rational effort to explain what's happening. In the end, he says, but you know what? The mind cannot conceive, but faith perceives that this has happened. The mind cannot conceive. So we can use all sorts of rational words, but it doesn't get us to where faith brings us, this great gift that God gives us in his body and blood. When I was growing up, I was taught that I should never presume upon the Lord's kindness or goodness. I should never think that somehow God has enough love inside of me that he's not going to judge me. You know, I think that might apply to the people who are at Trapper's Bar right now instead of being at church. But it should never apply to us. We who are believers who've gathered here today, knowing that we're going to be fed the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, if you eat my body and drink my blood, you have life everlasting. Why would we doubt his word? And yet, for the most pious, that was one of the things to hold on to, knowing that somehow there's this book up there and God's going to be writing in it what I do good, what I do bad, and ultimately the choice will happen there. But the choice has already happened for us who are gathered this day. He's feeding us eternal life. It's his promise. And we who are believers should be living in that promise, not kind of saying, oh, I hope it works that way, but I'm just not sure. You know, the saddest thing I ever encounter is the 80 or 90-year-old person who's been taught in that same language, who, as they're coming close to dying, is living in fear of what's coming. As if somehow, even though they've been going to church every week, even though they've been a faithful member of this body, find themselves doubting whether or not Christ will love them enough to allow them to enter into heaven. We've been promised. And that's what we should be living with today as we leave, and that's what we should be able to celebrate throughout the week. God has a place for me in heaven. It's his doing, not mine. He has given me his eternal life. And he's allowing me a share in that eternal life. He's not saying it's up to you. But in fact says, I'm going to do it for you. And the fact that you're here is a testimony to his spirit moving inside of you saying, come and receive what I have to give to you. It's God at work. It's not you doing what you have to. Yet sometimes, because we've been so caught in the sense of obligation, sometimes it can almost seem as if we're doing it ourselves. But really, faith is all about God moving us towards himself, allowing us to have the encounter of him here in this community, and then to carry that encounter out into the world. Today, once again, I receive that which I do not understand, but faith brings me to. I receive the body and blood of Jesus. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. That's our proclamation as faithful Christians.